Are on Dalet Amud Aleph 4a, and remember how we got here. I put it on the sheet in the outline to try to help. We had said that the weddings are supposed to be on Wednesday. However, we said that they may end up on Tuesday because of fear of the local Roman authorities taking advantage of their opportunity. And then we said that it could end up on Monday. It's really not supposed to end up on Monday, but if it does, then we're not going to protest for it. And we asked, what was that talking about? And that was the case in which the parent of, or I shouldn't say parent of, because actually the Gemara now makes it more clear. It's a specific parent. The father of the chassan or the mother of the kala passes away after the wedding meal has already been prepared and before they can actually have the chuppah. And what we said is they'll hurry to hold the chuppah in order not to lose the meal. That was our statement, because the father of the chassan and the mother of the kala are the ones who will be the ones to really prepare for the wedding, and we don't want them to, we don't want the chassan and kala to lose out on the meal that was already prepared. Therefore, we go ahead with the wedding. Then you go ahead with Sheva Brachos, wedding, consummation of the marriage, funeral, Sheva Brachos, followed by Shiva. That's the way that it works. By the way, two notes that I didn't mention last time. First of all, what do they actually do if it's the other parent? In other words, we said this is true for the father of the chassan, mother of the kala. So what if, Rachmana Litzlan, it's the mother of the chassan? So the rule as brought in the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch is that they will do Avelus immediately. So they'll do the funeral, they'll have Shiva, and the wedding will be right after Shiva. So the wedding will happen during Shloshim, even though normally we would say that an Avel is not supposed to get married during Shloshim. Nonetheless, here, because they were supposed to get married, and it was just pushed off because of this death, they will be able to get married during Shloshim. That was one note. The other note was a very interesting note from the Aruch HaShulchan. He asks a question. What if the family already did not have the chassan's father or the kala's mother? So in other words, the preparation wasn't happening via them anyway. And then another relative dies right before the wedding. So what would one do at that point? And he says they go ahead with the wedding because they weren't relying on the father of the chassan and the mother of the kala anyway. They didn't have them. So that's the Aruch HaShulchan's point. Either way, the Gemara here is going to go off onto a tangent related to this postponement of the wedding. So I am opening up the Gemara here on the screen so that everybody can see it. We are at Amar Mar, and it's 10 lines up from the bottom. We said in the Brisa that we brought, when we brought the Brisa with this whole discussion about the delayed wedding and so on. So Amar Mar, Hu Yashen Bein Ha'anashim, Vehi Yashena Bein Ha'anashim. We said that the guy is going to sleep among the men, and the Kala is going to sleep among the women during the week of Shiva. So they had their chuppah, they consummated the marriage, they did the funeral, they are now going to have the week of Sheva Brachos, followed by the week of Shiva, and they're going to sleep apart during this period of time. So, on this point, Messiah Leila Rabbi Yochanan. This supports Rabbi Yochanan, Da Amar Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan said, Da Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Aval Pisha Amru Ein Avelus Bimoed, Aval Dvarim Shal Tzina Noheg. Regarding Yom Tov, we say that even though there's no Avelus during the Moed, during Yom Tov, however, private Avelus does take place during it. So in other words, in the event that there's a death on Chol HaMoed, and now they're not able to start Shiva until after Chol HaMoed, nonetheless, they will observe private Avelus during that time, private mourning during that time. What constitutes private mourning that they're going to do during that time? So Rashi tells you, we have it, I believe, here. Actually, it's a little further up. No, it's not. Sorry. Rashi says, Shaltzina, here it is. Private. She'eno nikar labrios shu avel bekach. Any act of bereavement which doesn't make it obvious to everybody that this person is an avel, they will do. So therefore, in terms of what's relevant for, in terms of what's relevant for us, what we're saying is that during the week, not just of Shiva, but during the week of Sheva Brachos, they're going to sleep apart because they have to conduct themselves as mourners, because this isn't just something that demonstrates publicly that they are bereaved. Okay, that's the statement of the Gemara, that Rabbi Yochanan has said that on the regel, and here, regel here, moed here, is reference to the week of Sheva Brachos, private things are still going to apply. Now, you could make the argument, in truth, I'm going to stop sharing for a second so I can see people, you could make the argument that this is public. After all, he's sleeping among the men, she's sleeping among the women. All those men and women understand that there's a reason why they're with them and they're not with each other. So technically speaking, this is public in that sense. Nonetheless, that's not what we mean when we talk about public. Public would be for them to walk around with torn clothing. That's a demonstration of avelus. Here, they're just staying over with other people, and that's not considered to be a public demonstration that they are grieving. That's the idea. Clear?
Sorry, Rabbi Chuchina.
Yes, Eldon.
There's some guy here. I was dealing with stone removal. So how many men would this Avel be sleeping with, or how many women would be staying?
Right, so it seems like you only need them to be with one other, it looks like. It doesn't look like we need multiple guards.
Wouldn't they be going home to their parental home?
I mean, that they could, but they're married now. Like, he could sleep over at a friend's house.
Okay. Just when you talk about public private, you'd think you would want to keep this sort of as private as possible.
Yeah, no, that's probably true. And he probably is not in the mood to have, you know, company. He's not looking for, for an enjoyable evening in someone else's house. That's for sure true.
That's clear. Right.
Yeah, I mean, it could be others sleeping with him in his own house. The question is just, they can't both be in their new home. So, you know, that's what it comes down to. Okay, so that leads us to a statement that Rava makes. And I'm going to go back to sharing the Gemara again. Darash Rabbi Yosef, we're five lines up from the bottom. Darash Rav Yosef, Brei de Rava, Mishmei de Rava, Rabbi Yosef, son of Rava, taught in the name of his father, Rava. Lo shanu ela shalo baal. When we make this statement of husband and wife sleeping apart, that's only talking about where they haven't consummated their marriage. Aval baal. But if they've already consummated the marriage, ishto yishena imo. His wife is able to sleep with him. End of quote from Rava. So Rava says, the idea of having bride and groom, or I shouldn't say bride and groom, because that biases us as we read this Gemara. Rava says, the idea of having a husband and wife sleep apart is only going to apply where, number one, they're prohibited to each other, but number two, they've never consummated their marriage, and therefore we are worried that they're going to be drawn into something because they have such a strong desire that they're going to do something inappropriate. Therefore, we say, better have them sleep apart. But if they've consummated the marriage, then we're not so concerned that this is going to happen such that we need to prohibit yichud. That's Rava's statement. However, I have a problem when I read Rava. And this is the sort of thing which you can't get suckered into when you learn Gemara. You have to be very careful about this. When someone is quoted to you, when they bring you a source, like here's a statement made by Rava, I don't necessarily know what the context is. I don't necessarily know where Rava's statement came from. Was there anything in Rava's words that would indicate he's talking about a man and a woman who just got married?
No,
No, there's nothing at all about that. So what is Rava's case? Can we tell what Rava is talking about? Why else, besides bereavement, might cause a bride and groom to become prohibited to each other? If she's Anida. Correct. It could just as well be a case in which she's Anida, or it could be a case of regular Avelus. Meaning, you could have a case of a delayed chuppah, like what we've been talking about, that's a possibility. But you could also have a case in which, stam, they became Avelim and they didn't get to consummate the marriage. I don't know which case Rava's actually talking about here. The Gemara doesn't say. So, that's a really important thing to know, is that Rava's making a general statement that where a man and woman are married to each other, and are prohibited to each other, and they haven't yet consummated their marriage for whatever reason, they have to sleep separately. Yichud, having them be isolated together, secluded together, is a bad idea. That's what Rava has said, and I don't know which case he's talking about. But the Gemara says, I don't understand. In our case, they did consummate the marriage. Right? You quoted from 10 lines up on this page, Hu yashen bein ha'anashim v'hi yashena bein ha'anashim. He has to sleep among the guys. She sleeps among the girls. Right? But here they did consummate the marriage. So why can't they be together? Rava says to me, if they're usher to each other, but they never consummated the marriage, they need to have protection, so to speak. But in our case, it shouldn't be necessary. So the Gemara asks, V'ha'acha de'beba'al askinan. But in our case, it's talking about where they did consummate the marriage. I don't understand. I don't understand why this should be an issue. Uketani hu yashen bein ha'anashim v'hi yashena bein ha'anashim. And yet it said that they're going to have to sleep separately. Why should they have to sleep separately? So the Gemara says the answer is because Rava wasn't talking about our case. Ki ka'amar apirsa ishto nida. Rava's statement was talking about where she becomes a nida. If she becomes a nida, that's where he makes his statement that the guy is going to have to sleep among the men, and the girl is going to have to sleep among the women. But only if they've never had relations before. If they've had relations before, then they're okay. Let me stop sharing for a second so I could see people, because I want to make sure that I'm not losing anybody. What we're now saying is this. Rava said, the requirement of sleeping separately only applies if the marriage has never been consummated. Our Gemara said the requirement of sleeping separately applies to a man and woman who had this weird shiva during the chuppah thing happen, even though they did sleep together already. So I don't understand. Rava says if you slept together already, then yichud is okay. Our Gemara says, if you slept together already, then Yichud is still not okay. So why is that? So the Gemara's answer is, Rava was talking about a case in which she becomes Anida. It's not our discussion about Avelus. It's not where they're in mourning. It's a Anida discussion. And what he's trying to tell you is, that in a case of Anida, we can be more lenient. And the reason we could be more lenient is because people are more careful. Meaning, in the case of Nida, Nida is very, very strict, right? The punishment for violating Nida is a very, very significant punishment. People, we assume, are more careful with that. Maybe they'll make a mistake if they've never done this before because they have such a strong desire for it. But once they've already done this once, they can wait until after she's done being Anida. That's in the Anida case. Whereas when it comes to mourning, when it comes to Avelus, it doesn't work that way. People don't take Avelus as seriously. Avelus is a derabanan. So therefore we're going to be more strict and keep them apart even if they have consummated the marriage. You follow? That's the idea. Okay. Questions on that? The Gemara has a question on that.
I have a question.
Yes, Dave.
What is their status in terms of, like, okay, so they got married, they consummated the marriage, then they go into Shabbat Brachos, but nevertheless we're saying they're in a velus? Like, what is their status?
So this is what Rabbi Yochanan said. They do Dvarim Shabbatzina. They're the same status as somebody who had someone pass away on Chol HaMoed, and so they did the funeral, but Shiva does not begin yet, and during that period of time, they observe private mourning. That was Rabbi Yochanan's idea that we started with.
So it is full of Avelus, even though, you know, it just seems so...
Well, it's private Avelus.
...predictory, even though they're in their Shabbat Brachos.
Yep. It's very, very strange. I can't imagine and don't want to know what that experience is like. But yes. Yes, Chuck.
Just a point of clarification. We're only talking about, in our discussion, Basila.
Why do you say that?
Because there's a difference between a widower getting married or a non-virgin getting married, because the same sort of excitement may not necessarily be there as for a young couple getting together for the first time.
So it's an interesting suggestion. Certain aspects of the Gemara definitely are unique to the case of a Basula getting married, specifically the assumption that the marriage should have been on Wednesday, right, is only Basula relevant. And the idea of a full week of Sheva Brachos will not necessarily apply. It depends on whether it's first or second marriage for each of them. However, the basic idea that if they haven't consummated the marriage, then we're more concerned that they might make a mistake, I believe applies to them as well, regardless of whether it's first marriage or second marriage. I don't think we draw any distinction in that regard. Even though they've had a marriage before, they have not been married to each other before. Then the logical next question is, what if they were married to each other before, they got divorced, and then decided to get married again? Then what would you say? And I don't have an answer to that. But
I would have guessed that, and it's only a guess, I didn't see it anywhere, but I would have guessed that a woman who's a widower or widow and is experienced might have a different level of reserve based on that experience, and with the halachot of Nida.
And with Nida, keep in mind, we're saying that they're okay being alone together once they've consummated the marriage.
That was Rava who's getting that.
I mean, that's what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara is not going to disagree with that. And that's what we hold, meaning a man and a woman who are married, who have already consummated their marriage, and now she becomes an Ida, don't start sleeping in separate rooms. With Edim and so forth. That is the halacha. So the statement here is that Rava is saying Yichud is okay if what's keeping them apart is Nida. Yichud is not okay if what's keeping them apart is Shiva in our case. But the Gemara is not done, because the Gemara likes to make sure that statements like that are consistent with the texts we've been looking at. And in this case, it doesn't appear to be consistent. The Gemara says, go back to the Braisa that you read. And here I'm going, sharing it with you again. Look at this Braisa. This was the one that mentioned sleeping apart. So first of all, it dealt with, in the beginning of the Braisa up here, the part where the arrow is, it said that in the event that they go into Shiva, in the event that they lose the father of the chassan or the mother of the kala, they go through this whole process, and it said, v'chol osan hayamim, where I'm pointing, all of those days, hu yashen bein ha'anashim, he sleeps with the men, she sleeps with the woman, and then the next line says, v'chein, and also, misha pirsa ishto nida, if she becomes a nida, hu yashen bein ha'anashim, v'hi yashen bein ha'anashim, they sleep separately. So what do you mean? How can you tell me that when you're dealing with Nida, they're allowed to be alone together? Look at the line. That's not what the line said. It said, and also in the case of Nida. So the Gemara asks that. The Gemara says, ha v'chein katani, but it said v'chein. It said, and also, in the case where he's in a, where they're in Avelos, and also in the case where they're in Nida. And so just like the case of Avelos is talking about where they've been together before, and yet we're saying that they have to be apart, so to the Nida case should be the same rule. So the Gemara at the top of Dalet Amud Beis says not so fast. Just wait for it to materialize here. The Gemara says, no, the problem is when you see the word v'chein, you can't assume too much. Hachi ki amar, this is the way to read the Braisa. V'chein misha pirsa ishto nida v'lo ba'al hu yashen ben ha'anashim v'ishto yashena ben ha'anashim. The way it works is that in the event that she becomes a nida and they have not consummated the marriage, that's when we say that they're going to have to sleep separately. But in the event that they consummated the marriage, it's not true. So I call your attention to the sheet that I emailed out and the table that I gave you, because this will give some clarity to what we're saying. The table says, the situation which takes place after marriage has been consummated is the top of one column, yichud is the top of the other column. We said, in the event that the marriage has already been consummated and she becomes a nida, they're allowed to be alone together. In the event that there's regular mourning after marriage has been consummated, they're also allowed to be alone together. The only case in which we're going to say they have to be separate, even though they have already consummated the marriage, is the case of the chuppah with the delayed shiva. And the Gemara is going to come back to explain why. But the Gemara says, you've made a very interesting statement regarding the relationship that people have with the laws of Nida and the relationship that people have with the laws of mourning. That's a fascinating statement. You told me that people are more careful about the laws of Nida and less careful about the laws of Avelus. I want to explore that. The Gemara says, Lememra, we're on the third line. Lememra da Avelus kila le mi Nida? Are you trying to tell me that people take grieving less seriously than they take Nida? They're more likely to do something inappropriate? V'ha'amar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Chanina amar Rav Huna. Didn't Rabbi Yitzchak say, quoting Rav Huna, and here we see a Gemara that we referenced already last week, which says, whoops, Kol malachos she'isha osa labala, Nida osa labala. All the tasks that a woman normally does on behalf of her husband, Anita's allowed to do on behalf of her husband. Chutz, except for the following three tasks. And these require some explanation, but first we're just going to read the words. Chutz mi mezigas hakos, pouring him a cup of wine. Pouring wasn't only pouring. Remember, they used to dilute their wine, whether it's because it has a lot of alcohol or whether it's because it has a lot of sugar, but they used to dilute the wine. So she is not supposed to do that when she's a nida. V'hatzas hamita, as well as making the bed. V'harchatzas panav yada viraglov, and washing his face, his hands, and his feet. So we have a statement here which says that when she's a nida, we say she can do anything except these three things. V'ilu gabe avelos, but when it comes to mourning, Tanya, I have a brisa that says, "Av api sha'amru ein adam rashe lachof es ishto lios kocheles v'lios pokeses." Even though, if a woman is in mourning, the husband is not able to say to her, "I insist during shiva that you put on makeup." That's cruel and inappropriate. Be'emes amru. However, they also said, "Mozeges lo akos." She can pour the cup of wine for him when she's in shiva. Umatzas lo amita, she can make the bed. Umarchetes lo panav yada v'raglav, and she can bathe his hands, his feet, his face. So I don't understand, says the Gemara. You're telling me people take Nida more seriously than Avelus. And here you're telling me that during Avelus, she is allowed to pour the wine for him. She's allowed to wash his face and all that. When she's a Nida, you're not letting her do that. When she's an Avel, you are letting her do it. But I thought you told me that people...
Well, that's because the severity of the Nida is so much worse, so they have to have to be more careful about it.
But you told me the opposite. You said the severity of Nida is so much worse that you don't need to distance as much. Double-edged sword.
Who's in the veil of sin, him or her?
Ah, so that's where the Gemara is going to go. Rabbi Grossman anticipates the answer, or the first answer of the Gemara. The first answer of the Gemara is going to say, this is where she is, you have to distinguish between where she is in Avil and he is. But before we get to that answer in the Gemara, I wanted to highlight something, because somebody messaged me when we mentioned this Gemara last week, saying that something very derogatory, I don't remember exactly what, about the marriage in which she's washing his feet. So I think it's important to understand what this Gemara is actually talking about. Tosfos makes the point here when he talks about making the bed. He says, the act of making the bed does not mean literally setting up a bed. Remember that in the days of the Gemara, making the bed very often meant actually putting together the bed. Like the Gemara talks about not making your bed on Shabbos because it's preparation for after Shabbos. And the poskim say that doesn't mean making your bed like just neatening up the room. That means like literally setting up the bed. Like you put the legs here and you put the board on top, and that's what you can't do on Shabbos to prepare for after Shabbos. So that's also, Tosfos says, that's not what we're talking about here in terms of making the bed. It means an act of intimacy. Setting up the sheets is different from building a bed. So Tosfos says that regarding the bedding, but it's true for all of these. These are not acts of service. This isn't she's bathing him because, you know, she's a servant bathing him. This isn't she's pouring him the wine because she's a servant for him. These are acts of intimacy that are meant to increase love and affection between them when she pours his wine and she does these other things. So it's important that be understood. But going back to our question, why is it, if you're telling me that people naturally take Nida more seriously, then why is it that you're prohibiting these acts of intimacy during Nida, but you're allowing them during Avelos? So the Gemara is going to give us two answers. But the first answer is indeed the one that Rabbi Grossman anticipated. So I'm going to share the Gemara here and we will see it. Because the language of the Gemara already made clear when it talked about the makeup, it was talking about her being in mourning, right? It was talking about him not forcing her to put on makeup. So the Gemara says, lo kasha, this is not a problem. Kan ba'avelus di day, kan ba'avelus di da. There's a difference between when he is in mourning and when she is. Specifically, if she is in mourning, then if he goes to her and tries to convince her to do something inappropriate, she's not going to listen to him. She's in mourning right now. So therefore, she is allowed to pour the cup of wine, she's allowed to make the bed, all these things, because fundamentally, we know it's not going anywhere. As opposed to, if he's the one in mourning, so we're worried that if he decides this is what he wants, she's just going to say, well, you know, he's the bereaved one. If he's okay with it, I'm okay with it. That's the Gemara's answer, is that the case in which we are concerned, the case in which we're strict, is where he is, the mourner. But the Gemara says, not so fast. Go back and look at the wording of the Braisa. V'ha'aviv shal chasano ima shal kala katani. We said it's where he loses his father or she loses her mother. So it includes where she is in Shiva. To which the Gemara says, no, ki katani asha'ara. That's talking about the other rules, not the rule of sleeping apart. That was talking about the business of holding the chuppah first and all of that. Having the week of Sheva brachas, having the week of Shiva, that was where we referenced both cases, whether he is an Avel or she is. But the idea of sleeping separately, that's only talking about where he is an Avel. So what we're trying to say now, make sure this is clear, is that we're not worried about anything going wrong if Nida is the issue. And we're not concerned about anything going wrong if she is in Avelus. We're only concerned about something going wrong, such that we say, sleep apart, if he is the one who is the Avel. That's the idea. But the Gemara is...
We were talking about acts of affectionate acts as opposed to sleeping apart.
So the affectionate acts are going to follow the same rule. Meaning?
But I don't understand how this is answering the stira.
What we're saying is that affectionate acts are only going to be prohibited in Avelos if he is the, if he is the Avel. If she is the Avel or not.
I understand that, but the point was, I mean, that if Nida was such a severe thing, so we should be lenient when it comes to, and allow for the affectionate acts, and yet you see that they didn't allow for it.
Correct.
So you're saying, so the Teteritz is, they didn't allow for it when he was the, when he was the Avel. But if she was the, if it was her, then
we're lenient. Yes. In other words, it's not so much about Nida as a standalone, it's Nida relative to Avelos. And we've now resolved it by saying that among bereavement cases, there are two tiers. There's where she is in Avel, in which they take things seriously, and we're not so worried, and then where he is in Avel, where we have more concerns about what's going to happen.
That's Argentina.
Yes, Eldon.
Very quickly. You said that when he's an Avel for his Aviv, for his father, and she for her mother.
Yes.
But isn't Avelos the same for either parent?
No, this goes back to the wedding case. This is talking about where there was a concern that if they don't do the wedding now, they aren't going to get the wedding meal together. And the guy's father was very involved in helping to prepare the meal, and her mother was very involved in preparing her jewelry. And therefore, we said, go ahead with the chuppah. If they lost the other parent, then they wouldn't go ahead with the chuppah. They would push off the chuppah. That's the idea. So, the Gemara isn't done. The Gemara does not simply accept this. Even though Rav Simi wanted this as the answer, the Gemara says, not so fast. This whole idea of distinguishing between his Avelos and her Avelos doesn't really hold water. And here I'm just going to scroll down a little bit to give us more space here. Umisha'ani is what we're up to. The Gemara asks, Umisha'ani bein Avelos di day la Avelos di da. You're telling me there's really a difference between when he is in Avel and when she is in Avel? You're telling me that the rules are actually different? Vatanya, I will show you that that's not true. Here's a brisa. Misha meis chamiv o chamoso. If a man loses his father-in-law or mother-in-law, in other words, his wife is now sitting shiva. Eino yachol lachofas ishto lios kocheles v'lios pokes. That's first of all, as we said before, he cannot get his wife to put on cosmetics. If she doesn't want to wear cosmetics, he can't, I mean, she doesn't. She doesn't do it because it's shiva, and he can't say any different. Ella, rather, kofemitaso, just the opposite, he overturns his bed, v'noeg ima avelus, and he practices avelus with her. We're not going to get to it today, but this whole business of overturning the bed is a practice that existed historically during Shiva, which is no longer practiced. Already by the time of the Rishonim, they weren't doing it anymore, for reasons that we can come back to probably next week. But what this Gemara says, this Brisa says, is that if a man's wife is in Shiva, he observes Avelos with her. He flips his bed over, as she does, and he practices Avelos with her. V'chein hi shemeis chamia o chamosa, and the same thing is true for her. If she loses an in-law, one of his parents, eina rasha lias kocheles v'lios pokesa, she doesn't put on makeup during Shiva. Ela kofa mitasa, she flips her bed, v'noheges ima Avelos, and she does mourning along with him. It didn't make any distinction whatsoever as to whether it was him being an Avel or her being an Avel, so I don't understand. So the Gemara says, yeah, but it didn't talk about the issue of sleeping together. Tani, we learned, ba'avelus di day, or tani, I should say, you should add to that brisa, ba'avelus di day, that if he is in mourning, hu yashen ben hu anashim, v'ishto yashena ben anashim, he sleeps with the men, she sleeps with the women. In other words, you're right, that brisa that you just quoted, that talked about makeup and flipping the bed, didn't mention any distinction? So throw in another line to talk about the issue of who sleeps where, and then you'll see there is a distinction. To which the Gemara says, no. Ha-vechein katani. But the Brisa says vechein. It said, here's what you do when the avelus is hers, and so too, here's what you do when the avelus is his. Implying an equation of the two. The rules should be the same. So the Gemara says no, because that wasn't talking about being the same in everything. Kikatani akichul vapirkus. That was talking about makeup for cosmetics. Yes, the rules are the same. Not for everything else. But the Gemara has another question. We have four questions against this brisa. The Gemara says not so fast. Vahimo katani. The brisa said specifically, I'm going to point to it with the arrow here on the screen. It said that when she is in Shiva, v'noheg imah avelus, he is grieves with her. And it says that when he is in avel, noheges imo avelus, she does avelus with him. The implication is that they can sleep in the same room. It's with him, with her. To which the Gemara says, that's not what the word with meant. Mailav imo bamita, doesn't it mean with him they sleep in the same bed? Lo, imo babayis, it just means that they're in the same house. That's all it means. Uchda Amar Le Rav Lachia Barei, as Rav said to his son, Rabbi Chia Barav, Be'apa Neho Gavelusa, Delo Be'apa Lo Tino Gavelusa, when your wife is in Shiva, you act as though you are in Shiva as well when you are in front of her. So I'm going to stop the share here because we just read a lot of Gemara and I want to make sure that I didn't lose anybody with it. The Gemara's first answer here, okay, we said, our question was, do people really take avelus less seriously than they take nida? Then why is she allowed to do intimate things for her husband when she is in avelus? So our first answer was to say, that's because she is the avel. If she is the avel, people take it very seriously. The one that people take lightly is when he is the avel. That's our Gemara's first answer. And then we challenged it because we brought a brisa. First of all, we challenged it because you talked about the case in which he is an avel or she is an avel in the wedding case. So that was one challenge. And then our next three challenges came from a brisa in Moed Katan, which talks about a husband and a wife sharing in the avelus of their spouse. And the language seemed to indicate that the rules are the same, whether she is an avel or he is an avel, and they're together and so on. And the Gemara goes step by step with question after question and says, no, I can defeat that. I can make that work. I can make this work. I can make that work. Don't worry about it. However, the Gemara is not going to be satisfied with that. The Gemara is going to give me a different answer. Even though Rav Simi is correct, that it seems like there's room to distinguish between where he is an avel versus where she is an avel, the Gemara is going to go a different direction with it. We're going to see that, God willing, next week. I don't want to rush in order to get to that, but we're going to give a different answer for why all of this makes sense. I also want to come back next week to ask the question of this business of him conducting Shiva when she is in Shiva, and her practicing Shiva when he is in Shiva. What is this idea of the spouse having vicarious Shiva with the other? I think in general, that's not what people do. When one spouse is in Shiva, the other one is not following the practices of Shiva. So next week, we're going to have to find out how this works. Do we really say that that Shiva is shared among spouses? What we want to do next week is answer this question further of when do they take Shiva seriously and when don't they take Shiva seriously? And then I want to come back to discuss the issue of spouses in Avelus and maybe also makeup during Shloshim. We'll note that as well. So that'll be, God willing, next week at 7:30. Yeah, I think that's a good spot. I will, just for Marvin's sake, since he wasn't on when I did it before, I share his handiwork here, his photography handiwork.